The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So you may have noticed last week in worship that we began a new practice here, worshiping on Zoom during the passing of the peace. That moment in our normal Sunday worship when the presider, the pastor, says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," and the assembly responds, "And also with you." Well, we're taking this whole worshiping from home thing one day at a time, one week at a time, and early on in our time together, I kind of realized that something was missing, especially from this piece of the liturgy, when it was just me saying the words. I didn't quite like that. So you'll notice, maybe you noticed last week, maybe you noticed this week, that after I proclaim the peace of God and say, "And also with you," that each week we're going to hear different voices from the congregation who will help us share the peace with everyone on Zoom. Last week it was the church council. They're great and very willing guinea pigs. Thank you, council. And this week it'll be our quilting group. But here's what's behind that idea. This word, the peace of Christ, this word that we speak to one another on Sunday mornings, is not a socializing occasion. It's not a chance to say hello. That's what coffee hour is for. When we share the peace of Christ with one another, it's important that it's actually more than a word, that we get up, that we actually move around, that it's action, that it's movement we put in our bodies, because our bodies are meant to get caught up in this peace. It's something that we put in motion. One theologian, Alexander Schmemann, says, "When we move our bodies in this way toward one another with God's peace, we are actually adorning one another. We're vesting one another or clothing one another actually in the peace of Jesus." And here's why that's important, kind of by way of example or story. Earlier this week, I'll say I found myself with anything but peace. I found myself filled with anger. And not the kind of anger that comes and goes, no, like a righteous anger, that most savory and perfect of all kinds of anger, the kind of anger that tastes really good in your mouth when you talk about it because it is principled and well-founded. It's that kind of anger you get when you know you're right. And by the way, I'm fairly certain that I'm just always right. Well, I was angry this week because I watched as armed, sometimes self-described militias entered into the Michigan State Capitol building and others and intimidated state officials with weapons. Now, I felt angry for all sorts of reasons, but the principled side of my anger came out of some experience. You see, a few years ago, some of my friends who are organizers participated in a movement in the state of Illinois. They marched peacefully across the state to Springfield, singing songs, sleeping on church basement floors, being fed by church members who really didn't always agree with them. And they went to the Capitol building in Springfield, in Illinois, to submit a plea to the governor for a fair wage plan, a plan to pay wages to people who we would now call essential workers. And the governor at that time refused to see them. So these people went inside the building and sat on the floor of the Capitol building, unarmed, quiet, and peaceful. And now, whether you agree or disagree with what they did or the militia groups, hear me out. When this group of activists, mostly filled with people of color, entered into the Capitol building, they were met with intimidation and physical harm and arrest. They were forcefully removed from the building immediately and held in jail cells with criminals until they made bail. So my principled, well-founded anger this week arose at watching armed militia groups find no such treatment. In fact, much of the commentary around this event was that they had a right to do this, that they had a right to enter and forcefully intimidate officials. And I grew really angry this week as I remembered that no such courtesies were imparted to those church floor sleeping peaceful activists a couple years ago. Maybe you experienced something similar. When you're certain that your side is right, there are times that it feels really good to be angry, really natural. We feel entitled to our anger because, well, I'm always right. Anger like that is actually just kind of the inverse of the love that we feel for our families and friends. It feels natural to root for our friends. It feels natural to protect and love the people who act and think like us. We don't need much help finding love for our family. I don't need to work really hard, even when I'm being driven crazy in quarantine, to find love for family. I just want to love them. I don't need much help finding love for the members of Shepherd of the Valley. Even if we were to disagree with things, I want to love you. I don't need help finding love for people who look like me or think like me or have the same kinds of political opinions of me. That kind of love comes naturally, even if things are tough. But just speaking for myself, the kind of love that does not come naturally to me, and this is a confession, is the kind of love that extends to armed militiamen who storm Capitol buildings and intimidate people. That kind of love is foreign to me. Maybe you feel love, but I don't. And this is why we need the peace of Christ. This is why we put our bodies in motion every week, adorning one another in peace. Now, here's a fun fact about the peace, sharing the peace that I shared with the confirmation students a while ago, and the reception at that point wasn't very warm, and probably won't be warm now. They sort of made some gross faces when I shared it with them. But the early church, and actually today some Coptic Christian churches, share the peace on Sunday mornings. And when the pastor says, "Peace the Lord be with you," in the early church, and in these churches, they don't shake hands, they don't even hug, but they set their bodies in motion, and they kiss. I'm not talking about a romantic kiss. No, in Corinthians we hear, "Greet one another with a kiss of peace," and that's it. It's this kiss of peace shared during worship, a holy kiss. So now you get it, why the confirmation students were grossed out, because romantic or not, kissing in church to us today feels weird and probably gross. I mean, to my 2020 pandemic mindset here, a kiss of peace feels risky and downright dumb. So hear me loud and clear. I'm not proposing that we reinstate a kiss of peace at Shepherd the Valley. But the kind of love that I need for militiamen is going to be risky love. And today Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the gate into that love, the kind of love that goes beyond what comes naturally to us. We can only get that kind of love through Christ. The revelation that we come to know and see of God through Jesus is not just that we're called to love those for whom our love comes easily or naturally. We can get there on our own, and God loves us when we do love those people, absolutely. But the otherworldliness, the kind of craziness, the revelation of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is that we are called to love those whom we cannot find love for. Jesus says in Matthew, love your enemies. Saint Isaac of Syria, an ancient saint, one time said that Jesus commands us to be merciful, not only to those we love, but merciful even to the demons. That's pretty wild to me. And this is the kind of otherworldliness of the Christian story. Jesus says, I am the gate. I'm the way into the love that I desire for the world. There's no other way. I want to be careful here and hear me loud and clear that vesting ourselves in this kind of radical, risky love does not mean that we have to make statements like, well, I guess there are good people on both sides. No, we don't have to dress our enemies up in softer linens to love them. The demons, and I'm not calling anybody a demon here, but the demons, to say St. Isaac's peace, the demons can stay demons. We don't have to dress them up in fancy costumes and call them something they're not. This love is more profound than that. It's more important than that. This is not a love that is reserved for the good or for the right or for the well-principled. This is love that is for broken, worried, hurting people. Jesus says, oh, you sheep, come on in. This is why we dole it out for one another on Sunday morning. Because if this kind of love was reserved for people who were deserving of it, or who earned it, or who were right, then we would just have to omit the peace of Christ from our worship altogether. The radical love of Jesus means that being good is about as useful as being right. Being good on either side doesn't have anything to do with participating in the movement of God's love. We don't earn it. We don't fashion ourselves into creatures who deserve it. It is freely given to us by God, and we are called, we are commanded to freely share it with others. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am life abundant. So let me dress you up. You put my life on, you put on my love, and go and bring your enemies here into this life. Go and meet them dressed, not in your high-minded principles of right and wrong, but meet your enemies dressed to the nines in my love. I am the gate, the pasture is open, even to the people who you would call enemy. Whew. Now I'm called to preach the good news here, but for some of us, and for me, this feels like bad news, especially if you're as well-principled and right as I am all the time. But if you struggle like I do, with being right all the time, then some of the most important work you're going to do all week long is the passing of the peace. Because that's the moment when the body of Christ, the people who are the hands and feet of Jesus walking around, when we share this word, when we clothe one another, finally making possible something that we can't do on our own. The peace of Christ be with you always. Thanks be to God. Amen.